You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Another incredible episode of the Cooligans begins.
That's it. You know, you did it last. The last episode, you were already. You already told everybody that they were in store for an incredible episode. And not only are we in store for an incredible episode, but we're also on a brand new network.
That's right, we are. It just keeps changing. People are like, hey, "Why are you on Fridays and Tuesdays? What is happening?" Because we're on a new network, baby. The DraftKings Network.
Exactly. That's what you've been seeing. The little DraftKings over here. I don't know where to point to it, but it's somewhere on the corner of this.
I think it's this way.
Yeah, it's above Alexis right now.
Hold on. I might be able to touch it.
Okay. Don't fondle it, Alexis. And he was fondling under the D. So, very nice. They're going to hate this.
They don't want me to say the joke I'm about to say during this part of it. They're not going to cut this part out.
The Cooligans are officially on the DraftKings Network. We're still on. You can still get the podcast. You can still find us on YouTube and everything. But we're also, there we go. We're also on all Samsung televisions.
Dude,
okay,
Samsung TV Plus. Okay. If you got a smart Samsung, you could watch this stupid show.
Okay. You want to make your Samsung stupid?
You want to make that Samsung go stupid? You just put this on,
you
bro.
You turn on here. So shout out to DraftKingsNetwork.com. You can watch there as well.
Let the people know, 7 p.m. Mondays and Thursdays.
Mondays and Thursdays, right. 7 p.m. Eastern time.
A las 7.
Vamos, okay? We're going to put Spanish subtitles
on here. That's right. Okay. Your Samsung about to learn Espanol, bro.
Okay, es Samsung.
Samsung TV Blue.
Okay, this is
a las siete.
So we're excited.
When they speak Spanish, it sounds more aggressive than when the Miami team speaks Spanish.
So we're excited about the continued growth of the Cooligans, of the network, everything going on, big things happening for everybody involved, and so a lot to look forward to. So if you enjoy the show in all these other formats, now you have another one. If you have a Samsung TV, just put on channel 1168, and we'll be there 7 p.m. Eastern.
You can also get us on SamsungTVPlus.com and DraftKingsNetwork.com, which is also known as DraftKingsNetwork.com.
Something if you didn't understand.
Yeah.
Now everybody's like, oh, okay, yeah, entiendo.
There's some tía like, oh, ahora entiendo.
Okay, she puts on her Oculus. And now she's ready
to just punching. She's playing one of them fight games.
So look, now we have, look. You know,
the game she's playing is her finding her ex-husband cheating.
So, look, your favorite soccer show here on Le Batard and Friends Network, now available on a brand new platform. All right, so let's keep it moving.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We got to talk about Champions League, the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, the other Champions League,
you know.
Them small clubs like Manchester City and Real Madrid, as they say in England.
That's how they say it.
They refuse.
In Spain, they say Real Madrid.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. But, you know, so obviously the semifinals are going on, the first leg for each of the matches. So let's start with Real Madrid against Manchester City.
I would love to hear your thoughts, because I'm getting cooked on the internet for saying that this was a Carlo Ancelotti masterclass, which I truly believe.
Wait, what, the post-match comments were the masterclass?
Everything, the way he set up the team. Did you see Luka Modric just sauntering around the pitch in the first half as if they weren't going up against the hottest team in Europe?
There is a certain level.
Genius, bro!
Nobody thought to just keep him in one position.
Bro, if you know what? If you just don't run that hard. But everybody stays in one spot. It seems to really throw them off.
The heat map is just a solid circle in one little spot.
A little fire emoji on the in the third half.
Man, he burned in through the
third
pitch.
Half. In the final third, the third half.
Okay.
I told you we make it TV stupid.
Look, I think what we've been seeing the last few weeks with Manchester City, obviously winning every match in the Premier League.
But this is Real Madrid. This ain't no Southampton.
This ain't Arsenal, bro.
Yo, chill. This ain't Everton next week. Don't make me
watch
do this.
Watch Everton win next
Please
week,
do.
Bro.
Please do. You would be helping me.
It's going to be crazy. The main thing with Manchester City, they've been obviously dominant the last few weeks. Everybody's easily calling them the best team in the world. Real Madrid are going up against this juggernaut. And Real Madrid, especially in the first half, looked like they dealt with some of the pressure. But right. then this is Carlo. This is Carlo what he does. He baits. He baits.
Yeah, he's like, go ahead, let's see what you can do. let's see you try some of your cute little tricks.
It's kind of wild seeing Manchester City these last couple of weeks be incredibly dominant, sure on the ball, incredible passes. Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland being unstoppable.
Wait, he was in the game?
Bro, you saw Rudiger, what he was doing to him?
Rudiger was up in the dude's armpit, bro.
He was like,
which way are you going? You're going to go that way. I'm going to be right here, bro.
Let me get a sniff. What kind of deodorant
are
you
using? Yeah, right? Like, bro, you going to see me ever. You're going to see me in your cereal, my dude.
Rudiger was everywhere. Okay?
You see me in your Chef Boyardee.
Okay, he was. You know how you can spell your name with the spaghetti? Yeah. Bro, you spelled Rudiger in there.
Bro.
He was everywhere. His
name ain't Neisiger. It's Rudiger. Yeah, dude.
Wow, look at this.
Huh?
I mean, this is what you get when you tune in, all right? I'm glad you saved all this heat for DraftKings. Network, bro. That's all. Bro,
this is what they won't let me say on CBS, bro.
Okay, now just get unfiltered. I think that's the biggest surprise is that Real Madrid were able to, you know, a team that they don't play every week, or you don't play them, you know, they don't play them two times a year regularly or whatever, and they had Pep's number, but they just like they negated the Manchester City's strengths, right?
They 100%, and they also took out Pep's ability to have an impact. The guy used no subs. He was like, I don't know, bro. If these guys can't figure it out, these dudes on the bench ain't gonna do nothing, bro.
That was my biggest surprise. And I had tweeted that out. I thought the decision to make no subs whatsoever, I thought it was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake in the end because they drew and getting a draw at the Bernabeu, you'll take that. But
they snuck away with a point.
It could have been a mistake here and there, and that could have been a really, really bad decision.
Yeah,
so.
Kevin De Bruyne saved them completely against the run of play, as far as I'm concerned.
But also, how about do you think the ball went out?
So, okay, Christine Uncle answered this, mm-hmm. right? She said it did go out. She didn't say that, but I'm telling you it did go out. I think we've all seen it goes out.
Yeah.
Although on the shadow, it looks like it's still on the line, but still.
Yeah.
It looks like it went out. But there was a stoppage of play. So when VAR reviews the goal, they don't go past the previous stoppage of play.
Okay, yeah.
So because it was...
Why am I... I remember it that there wasn't a stoppage, but
there was. The ball went out and exchanged...
Possession change.
Possession change.
Yeah, yeah.
So they only go back to that, which I guess is the right way to use it. But why are there all... We have the video. Oh, I can't hit rewind that far. You know what I mean? It just had like, it was such arbitrary rules,
Be
bro.
Be kind and rewind a little bit. That's
the most infuriating part of professional sports with instant replay is that they can't review everything. You're like, dude, if we got it, let's just use it. You know what
I don't
I mean?
Know about that because it
Here we
it,
go. It gets Dad, to a point. Dad's got to do it. Well, wait.
It has to be some level of compromise. When VAR was introduced, there has to be some point where we have to say, all right, the people on the pitch have to decide what happens. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going back and forth.
Look, we need Christian, okay? We need a couple of Polancos to be the VAR. Mm. We need a couple of cops who go, no, wait, we saw it. I want cameras on everything. And if you did something wrong, whether the ref saw it or not, you're getting called for it.
Look.
Unless... The opposite of my opinion helps me. Right, teams.
I
will say this. Look, as far as the game is concerned, if you are Carlo Ancelotti, you say to yourself, we need to stop one person on Manchester City, who would that one person be? That you think you got to lock down, you got to stop.
Erling Haaland.
Okay. Yeah. Now, if you are Pep Guardiola and you say, yo, we got to stop one person on Real Madrid, who would that be?
Vinicius.
Okay. Was Erling Haaland stopped?
100%.
Was Vinicius?
Stopped? I mean, he scored, so no.
Not only did he score, he was, bro.
It was. I mean, look, we saw Kyle Walker and Vinicius hug after the game.
Yeah, like two boxers who fought all game.
Showing some respect.
But Kyle Walker didn't do to Vinicius what he did to Saka.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't put Vinicius in his pocket. He could barely contain him. Vinicius wasn't doing what Vinicius does against Elche, but he was, you know what I mean? Right? It was in Almeria, you know what I mean? But Vinicius was influential in the game.
100%.
In many ways than one. Camavinga was doing whatever the hell he damn wanted on that side.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, Carlo Ancelotti walked away the victor. He didn't get the point. But if you are, I mean, he got a point. He didn't get the win is what I wanted to say. But if you're Pep Guardiola and you're Carlo Ancelotti, who feels a little bit more comfortable going into that second leg? There's more questions of Manchester City. There's more to figure out if you're Manchester City. There's a new tactic that needs to be applied if you're Manchester City. If you're Real Madrid, yeah, you're not home, and maybe that could change it. But for the most part, you're like, yeah, we're going to do what we did then. We just need Benzema to be a bit more, bit more involved.
There's more, there's more pressure on Manchester City because we all know they haven't won it. So the narrative is always, Pep hasn't won it here.
Right, you spent how much and you still can't win this?
And the pressure, but you sense that pressure in the game, right? The players themselves, even though they pointed this out on the broadcast.
Did anyone look more stressed than Kevin De Bruyne even after scoring? He's like, is that all right?
Good? But we've seen year after year, Manchester City, the constant heartbreak. And I'm constantly reminded of the Champions League, what was the semifinal, the one that... before VAR, right? Before VAR, when when Sergio Aguero getting studs to his damn knee and call and things like that. And there's just years and years of heartbreak when they probably should have won it already and they just couldn't get over that hump. And that's when you see De Bruyne score that goal, you kind of feel that. But the closer they get to the final, they're always remembering about those losses. You feel it in every single touch because why is it that Manchester City, every game that they play...
They went, 12 straight wins or something like crazy?
Yeah, and it's just...
Bodying
so
teams.
Dominant, but as soon as they get to these games, even though, yes, it is Real Madrid, but they're still... It's Manchester City. These players are really, really good and poor touches or touches a little too hard and get away from them, things like that. It's just like it's something psychological that's happening. So, and I put that on Pep to prepare these players for these matches because I don't know why they are just like a different team all of a sudden.
Do you think it comes down to experience though? Like this Real Madrid team is the most experienced Champions League team.
This is their competition. Exactly. They're like, we lost La Liga. I didn't even know we were in it, bro.
Well, see, I want to address that. Oh, I need our producer, Miguelito.
Oh, yeah, Miguelito.
I'm still here, guys. Don't worry. So,
there's the Drafting Network people that are new that may not know, but Miguelito is here.
A lot of people on their Samsung Galaxy phones right now. Like, who was that voice?
Is somebody calling?
Was that the Dia they mentioned before? I'm so confused.
Oh, I got another app open. What's going on?
I know. Damn it! I hate it when these damn Android phones.
So they mentioned this on the CBS broadcast that Manchester City have essentially they've been in Champions League consecutively for like the last, I don't know, 12 years or something like 15 years. So they have a lot of UCL experience
losing.
So
that's the experience
at some point. I mean, are they essentially like the, I don't know, the Red Sox, like the
Buffalo
curse?
Bills?
The Buffalo Bills. Are they kind of getting to that point where they're just so psychologically can't get over the hump because they think something is against them, or like the Yaya Toure curse or whatever?
Supposedly I got lifted.
Supposedly. That's what Yaya said.
Toure's like, I hate this, you know, this racist thing. I'm like, bro, weren't you the one who said it?
Right, was that
it was his agent.
Something like that. So he was like, you know, saying that none of it is true, but I mean, the results speak for themselves. I'm not conspiracy theorists or anything.
I think Paul Pogba might have buried a hyena or something.
We have to come up with a valid reason.
I'm trying to use science here to figure out why this all becomes a revolution when they get up here.
I'm just looking at the evidence in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think if you're Carlo Ancelotti, man, you got an easy time talking to the team about the next game. You just got a whiteboard. You got to write blurling, blahling on it. Like, bring that back, dude.
The other match, obviously, what's it called? The derby?
Derby de la Madonna.
De la Maladona?
It's like the way my mom says McDonald's. Yeah. Madonna?
Madonna.
Madonna. Yeah. But the other match in Champions League.
And this one was boring.
Ouch. People are going to be annoyed, but you.
The first 15, whatever, 12 minutes. Balling. I'm like, yo, we in for a treat.
We about to have a 7-7 slobber knocker.
Bro, they share a stadium. They also sharing these vibes, bro. And then it became a nada.
No, Inter Milan wins the first leg 2-0. Goals from Edin Dzeko and Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Bro, it's 2013 right now. Bro, what is going on?
This is FIFA 14, bro. Yeah. What is going on? I used to throw up Edin Dzeko for every corner because he's just like, yo, this guy's gonna get to it all the time. And I'm like reliving my childhood.
Mkhitaryan, bro. What? That guy's still playing? Is he still on loan from Arsenal?
Both incredible goals, but we didn't get much after that. I thought Inter was better overall. But yeah, overall, just a disappointing
Inter
first leg.
Scored two, and they were like, shut it down. Don't run. We good. Park that omnibus.
Obviously the second leg, you know, this time Inter's gonna be at home, so who knows what to expect.
All shake hands and just walk to the other side of the stadium. Is that what happens?
The interesting thing just learned this recently is like during these derbies, they don't have like an away section. They sell 50%.
It's half and half.
Yeah, just very, very intentional. Just have 50% of each. So it's an interesting approach. There are other.
Do they switch locker rooms?
That's a good question. They must not. They must have their own. They must be their own.
There's probably like an Inter locker room and a Milan locker room. And then whoever the away team is.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think whoever the away team is just uses the opposite.
No, I wouldn't let them.
If Samp comes in and plays Inter, then they're in the Sampdoria's in the AC Milan locer room.
Well, they'll be in Serie B.
Serie B locker room.
Yeah.
but good matchups. We have a lot more to discuss, but we have to make sure we get to our interview. We have an incredible guest joining us today. You may know him from the Dan Levitard Show, which is on the DraftKings Network.
Wow.
You might have seen them right before this show. Yeah. Who knows? But Mike Ryan Reese is going to join us in just a moment to talk about Lionel Messi because Metalock Media has the scoops that Fabrizio doesn't. I don't know what else to tell
bro,
you.
Bro, this is how we start in this network, bro. We jumping in right into the hot transfer talk.
Imagine we announce Messi. I can't wait.
Let's just announce it and see if it happens, bro. I feel like it's a 50-50 shot.
No one's going to hold it against us if we're like,
so you heard it here first, dude. Messi's going to Saudi Arabia to get that guap.
So we will get to that in just a moment. But always a reminder.
Yes.
Make sure that you can enjoy this lovely interview and you can chill while you're watching it with a nice cold Coors Light.
We were talking a little bit about Champions League. Me and the homies sitting back, kick our feet up. You know what I mean? Dust off them dogs. Let them.
Man, why are your dogs dusty, bro?
My feet. I did a lot of walking. So you got to let them breathe sometimes. And the wife is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, yo, I'm chilling. And she goes, no, you're not. And then she handed me a cold Coors Light.
Look at that.
And you know how I know it's cold? Because it has a little mountain on the camera.
Sounds like a 1950s commercial,
right,
bro?
What is it, Mad Men? She handed me socks and said, yo, your feet stink.
Your feet are quite dusty as well.
Yo, she's vacuuming while I'm trying to watch the game because my feet are dusty, bro. But this is how me and the homies like to chill. Dusty feet up, cold Coors Light in our hand.
We're trying to make this as serious as possible, I swear.
This is the best we can do.
So when you want to either watch Champions League or watch this upcoming interview, have an ice cold Coors Light. So when you choose to chill, pay your plans with a Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/cooligans.
That's right. That's cool. CoorsLight.com/cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. All right. And here we have Mike Ryan Ruiz.
You know, on this show, they say we ain't got no sources, bro.
No, that we're all sources.
Bro, all we got is sources.
Okay. I mean, it's usually a guy we know.
Right. When we say we heard, that means we read a tweet. But in this case, we actually have a source.
We know a guy who
knows a guy.
Who is a source.
Yeah.
So this is pretty good.
Because all we ask is, look, I said, I know a guy. I need a guy who knows a guy.
Exactly. Look, and I guess as the prominent soccer show on the Meadowlark Network.
Right.
It's our responsibility.
The world's greatest soccer show on the Meadowlark Network.
The world's greatest network that also has a soccer show called The Cooligans, right?
Facts. Everything we're saying is fact. End of the show, guys. Thank you so much for coming. Yo, nothing but facts.
But this man, the last few weeks, his name has come up plenty of times on this show because, you know, when it comes to Lionel Messi and the rumors, literally one of the greatest, most popular athletes in the world, in human history.
Not one of the most. Yeah. Is quite possibly the single most popular
exactly.
athlete.
But his name has come up because when it comes to what Messi's next move is going to be, this man...
He was yipping a little bit, but turns out he might be right.
Okay, because everybody thought this man was just crazy.
We thought he was just chirping.
He's not a source. He has a mullet.
Turns out he is the source from Meadowlark. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike, Ryan, and Source Ruiz, everybody.
Mike, what's good?
That was a shot across the bow on the mullet. gratuitous is not even where to begin to describe that. How are you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
Real of good. Course, look, we learned about intros from watching the Dan Le Batard show. So we know where we get it from.
First question, how do we get rid of these bad habits? How do we unlearn everything y'all taught us?
No, things are going great for you guys. Alexis, congratulations on the air. I know I have to message you privately, but it's really cool to see you on the Golazo Network with a great group of people out there. So I'm really happy for the show's continued success. I listen as much as I possibly can. I really need my sports teams to stop winning in the playoffs so I can actually listen a lot more because...
Yeah, it'd be nice if you guys lost for the Knicks.
It's not going to be the Knicks. Yeah. Why would the Knicks ever be confident about anything?
It's not really our way. We're overconfident at the beginning of the season, and then nobody wants to jinx it at the end of the season.
No, we just scream into microphones outside of MSG, okay? That's as much as far as the confidence goes.
How many more times do you think you're going to get to do that?
I want all the Miami Heat players to know. We said, KD, don't you wish you signed with it? We just said about you, bro. Stop shooting this way.
Don't you wish you weren't rooting for the Knicks?
Yeah. Never your Knicks side that Knicks in six. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Lionel Messi, obviously, I've been seeing the tweets back and forth. You quote tweeting Fabrizio Romano. Oh. It's been a lot of fodder, and it's been very entertaining.
This is Mike Ruizio Romano, dude.
Okay, because we don't need Fab anymore.
Nah, Fab.
But okay, I'm not going to ask who your source is because
that's not how we're proper newsmen.
We
wear the newsmen. Just as a general curiosity, it's not really something an insider does.
There's some of our fans are like, ask him who his sources are. No. But I will say this, being in the middle of all of this, because, you know, you are a person who has obviously worked in sports for a long time. You're not always the story, but there's
you've wedged yourself into this story.
Well, look, man, it's become... The Messi signing is very clearly going to be a zero-sum game. And it's unfair because if Messi signs with a Saudi team or Barcelona, whoever said that was going to happen months ago gets to be right. And there's a lot of twists and turns. He still hasn't made a decision. There's a lot of reporting along the way. And all I was doing... several months ago was the same thing that I had been telling our audience for several years, that Messi is a real possibility for Inter Miami. And after the World Cup, Fabrizio had just reported that Messi had verbally agreed to an extension with PSG. I knew that to not be the case because he was talking with Inter Miami quite a bit. And Inter Miami reps were also at that World Cup final. And they weren't hard to find if you were looking around Messi's camp. And it didn't make any sense to me. And trust me, I didn't think that Inter Miami had a legit shot against PSG if PSG really wanted somebody, because they don't really lose these things. But it was made very clear to me that Messi was looking for something other than just money. Now, it's very hard to say no to $500 million annually. So it's never been something I've been faced with. I imagine that'll be hard to do. But also, he's Lionel Messi. He has all the money in the world. But what I got dragged into it by just holding my line and trusting my own reporting that I've been doing for several years. And unfortunately for me, within the world of soccer, I'm not necessarily known as someone that would break news I didn't have this huge reputation of reporting on soccer, so I understand what everybody was doing. Fabrizio is a gold standard for a reason, but I knew he was wrong on this one. And then it just became, well, if people are going to have a go, I'm going to defend myself, especially when I know what the truth is. And so I'll just continue to defend myself because a lot of people were dragging me. So many people. Because if Fabrizio doesn't say it, it's not true. And guess what happened? Several months later, Fabrizio finally got it right, as it, you know how they frame it. I'm not going to put you in an uncomfortable spot. I know he's your CDM colleague. But it was interesting how they framed, like, oh, he did have a deal. He did have a deal. But then he didn't have a deal. He never had a deal. He never agreed to the deal.
Right.
He never was going to PSG. I don't know why that is the message. You got the reporting wrong. It happens. But really, I'm having a go at people because people seem to have fun with me on the internet. So I know my reporting is true. I think every twist and turn that this story has had over the last few months has kind of confirmed that. Right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the punishment, the little pow-pow that Messi just got, being suspended for 2 weeks for...
He had to do that hostage. Apology.
Right. That was weird. He's already back. He's already back at training, though, so I don't even know how real the two-month suspension thing is, the two-week suspension. He's got to be out there for the trophy celebration, right? Gotta.
Right. Look, yeah. I mean, begs a bigger question in, like, even these, like, super reporters, which are like the Adam Schefters, the Fabrizio Romanos, where they become so much a part of the actual game and so much a part of like the business of the game, where
they're like the verified check.
Yeah,
it's like something ain't real. Why a player could hold up the new jersey and like, yeah, but Fabrizio didn't tweet. He's like, who cares, bro? I'm holding it.
Why are they infallible? And because you have gone toe to toe. And look, and this is no shade at Fabrizio or anyone, but there is something to be said about like that of journalists having this much power or authority over information. No,
I think people that follow MLS know who to follow when it comes to MLS transfers. Tom is fantastic at what he does, and Fabrizio only reports on MLS stuff when an agent wants him to report MLS stuff. He doesn't have that many sources within MLS, and it kind of tainted the entire prism that the Messi news was looked at, because he is the gold standard, and if he's not talking about Inter Miami, then there's no real discussion to be had. He is that important to this entire machine. But what people don't realize is Fabrizio, number one, isn't infallible, like you said, but he also plays a game. He's a cog in the machine, and he can get worked on by agents that will make it up to him, and he can get worked on by clubs that will make it back up to him. And he was pushing this narrative. I don't doubt that his sources at PSG, because that's what they were very confident that they were going to re-sign Lionel Messi, because they kept Mbappe last year. They don't lose.
Right.
So I don't doubt that he was hearing that from his folks, but he just didn't have sources at Inter Miami. I know this to be a fact. He wasn't checking in on Inter Miami, and Inter Miami were having conversations with Messi. So it wasn't done if Inter Miami were having these level of negotiations with Messi's camp.
I love it.
Which begs the question, how do we get involved in this paid to tweet? You know, we will, MLS clubs, we will say whatever you want.
I'll be honest,
bro.
Look, the only news we've ever broken about a transfer was the move when CJ Sapong signed with Nashville SC. We broke that. Wow. Literally, no one else had that info. We broke
it. Is that on your wiki?
Obviously. So Messi is the next caliber level that we
in
need
fact,
to get to.
In fact, Fabrizio said, who do you know? I want to ask you about the Miami sports landscape, because I remember a few years ago, and this is the only shot I get to take on the Heat. at the Heat, I should say. The newspaper had to print a, here's the rules to being a good fan. When LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade were there, they're like, get here on time, root for this team. You know, simple rules. But the Miami fan base has been sort of, a lot of shade gets thrown at Miami fans. There's a lot to do there. There's a beach there. There's beautiful people walking around. Maybe you don't want to go into an arena. You know what I mean? Do you think Lionel Messi, would he shift the culture there? Would he be, I get, for soccer fans, yes. Would he get the stadium done in Miami? Would he be someone that can't go out to dinner in Miami because he'd be mobbed by fans? Do you think he gets to be himself in Miami, or is this just going to be Lionel Messi the same as everywhere else?
I do think that he will have a bit more privacy, but he was here a few years ago on holiday at a restaurant by Surfside, and the place got totally swamped, kind of like what recently happened when he went out with his family in Argentina. He's the most famous person on the planet. There's a lot of football fans down here. There's a lot of Argentinians down here. Not that you need to be Argentinian to be a fan or know who Lionel Messi is, but will he get the stadium built? The stadium's supposed to be done. They were supposed to put shovels in the ground about a month ago. And coincidentally, there is actually an interesting part about shovels going in the ground and how much money Messi would stand to make because of the ownership angle. We can get into that a little bit later. But there is a very passionate fan base for Inter Miami. Like, I think they have arguably, I know you have a big MLS contingent that listens to this. Their ultras are fantastic. Their supporters section is as rowdy as it gets in MLS. They are hugely, it's heavily influenced by all the clubs in South America, but they are really loud, as all supporters are, but they are a special type of festive. And I've been in Seattle, I've been in LA, and I've seen all those supporter sections, and I just think that Miami supporter sections should be talked about more in that respect. And the games
but
have actually
been
sold out.
They already go to the game. They already care about the sport. Yeah. I'm talking about, can we, will Lionel Messi, you know, move the needle for the casual fan and become more a fan?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. And this isn't, if he were to come, that's why I think it's huge if he were to come this year, because he is going to be named the best player on the planet. Like he is the best player on the planet coming off of that World Cup. This isn't a retirement home. This moves a needle in ways, not just because he's ultra famous, but because he's also really good still. And if they wait a year from now, maybe he won't be. Hell, people were talking about Messi being on the downside just a year ago, prior to this World Cup. So I would really love it if he were to join Inter Miami this summer, because people get to see a player that is close to peak form, and he's arguably the greatest player we've ever seen.
And so we have to ask, like, the as far as likelihood. I mean, I don't want to necessarily say a give a percentage or whatever, but there is something to just seeing your tweets that has kind of given me this hope that I didn't even think I would ever have, because just hearing that it's this possible and this close, and then seeing all the drama happening at PSG makes it feel like this is a possible reality of him coming this summer. So what are the things that you have heard that are the things that he needs to possibly make a decision like this?
He's gotten everything that he needs. The parameters of this deal with Inter Miami have long been set. He knows what he's getting at Inter Miami. He knows all the machinations of the ownership equity that he would get. There really isn't more negotiating to be done. It's just about merely making a final decision. And with Barca's involvement and with the personal relationships that he has over there, I think everyone expects that to be drawn out a little bit more, because what Barca transfer saga hasn't been drawn out as they try to find all these levers to pull and be within financial compliance. And I think that
they're gonna trade in all their used games to GameStop to really get as much money.
I imagine it goes away that most of those Barcelona things, even Messi's own contract, kind of got undone by the Barca of it all. So ultimately, he just needs to make a deal. I know you were asking for a percent chance, and I'm not going to do that, because that's how you get dragged on social media, and I've been plenty dragged already, even though I've been 100% right the entire time again. But what I'll tell you is that Inter Miami still remain hopeful and confident that they can do this. They're in regular communication with Messi's camp. Every time I send a story about, oh, he's going to Saudi. Anytime I send to my sources, oh, he's going to Barca. They're like, stop following that. Unfollow that. That's
I love it.
They're still in communication, man.
Yeah, I mean, in person. David Beckham was just there a couple of weeks ago, taking photos. Yeah. Messi seemed quite happy.
Bro, is David Beckham your source, man? Oh, my God.
We have the same tattoo artist, coincidentally. Shout out, Panda.
So, look, it does feel like, you know, the PSG season might wrap up soon. And I don't know. I mean, I feel excited about it. The
club owned by Messi and Beckham is just insane. How you gonna go to Columbus Crew?
So I want to make one thing very clear. The thing that I accuse Fabrizio of carrying water for certain clubs, like, you can certainly tell me that because I'm not plugged into Saudi Arabia. I don't have sources over at Barcelona. I am just hugely plugged into Inter Miami in ways that no other reporter is. So I'm just giving you what I've been told. I would love for more reports coming out of Saudi Arabia because that seems like a wild number, and I've heard that number long before. The story that I heard months ago was that Lionel just didn't have interest in going to Saudi Arabia. It didn't really matter the kind of money that they would offer him. He didn't want that for his life and his legacy. But this was several months ago, and like I said earlier, I've never been faced with having to ask myself legacy questions when being offered $500 million annually. It's absurd. There is bleep you money in this world that you could just be like, oh, let's table that. What is one summer in Saudi Arabia going to do to our plans, really, at that price tag?
Right, you fake an injury halfway through. Next thing you know, you're in Miami.
And Barca can never be counted out. Look, he's got a Barca tattoo. Everyone knows what he did for that club and that shirt. They're obviously playing on his emotions, but Barca has a really complex path to get all of this. The one thing that I was pretty sure of and pretty strong on, despite PSG's reputation of not losing, was that he and his family wanted to turn the page on that, and he wanted something more from his life. Now it's ultimately his call on what that something more will be.
I can't imagine, after winning everything and winning a World Cup, why you still have this yearning to do something else. But I guess that next thing is a legacy. And you ain't leaving a legacy in Saudi Arabia. You are in Miami, though.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, how much money? Okay, money can't be the thing.
No,
what is
all of it. I want all of it.
Yeah. And it's also
I won't have enough where $500 million isn't a good number.
It ain't no $500 million, but it's not like he's not going to be making really good money at Inter Miami. Right.
Is Messi going to be the next Jeff Bezos? Right. Like, we don't need another. Right.
Here's what I'll say in response to, like, all the Saudi Arabia stuff. Inter Miami wasn't in this position, even though they had a decent package for Lionel Messi. Like I said, it's not like he's not making nothing there. If it's an arms race over financials, they're not beating out the likes of PSG, right? So obviously there's something else going on here for Inter Miami to still remain in the conversation, despite not having the resources that Saudi Arabia has, or certainly the resources that PSG had. Inter Miami was still meeting with Messi and still getting positive signs that he remained interested. And like I said, the deal points have been talked out. He knows what the deal is. So, like, the negotiating is done. The hard part's over. Now it's just him making the decision.
I think you got to get Busquets.
Well, that's been part of it. That's been part of it the entire time. And Inter Miami kind of has been leaning on Busquets to do the recruiting here. Like, they're pitching the vision, as is Saudi Arabia right now, from what I've read, as is Barcelona, because Busquets is already there. I had no idea that Messi and Busquets were this tight. I had no idea until it was explained to me through my sources that, no, they're best of friends. And this is, you have to kind of sell Busquets on this, too, to get Messi. And Inter Miami has – they also have those deal points totally talked out with Busquets. You see, like, on their roster, they don't have a number 10 on their roster. They haven't given the shirt to anybody. They need a player like Busquets right now. They need a player like Messi. They've built their entire roster for those two positions in particular. They've changed their formation already to make this get the most out of Busquets and Messi down here. It's everything but just the name on the dotted line. That is all that's
I cannot it. Wait. To see Messi and Busquets play for Inter Miami and collectively run about 2.5 meters per game.
Yeah.
These two guys don't run anymore.
They don't run, but they built out the team so everyone else does the running.
Right. Exactly, exactly. No,
most of their exercise will be rolling their eyes every time Neville speaks.
No, man, this is an exciting time. I think.
Can I ask one more question before you close out? Real quick, who's going to be Chelsea's manager next season?
They're saying Poch, right? I know what you're doing. Okay, I came over here. I did the victory lap, and we were headed to the Champions League final, and now you're flying high because we're down bad, and you're not, although you are going to bottle this league, and you know it. You are.
That's fine. Look, second is a great finish.
Yeah, for you guys, absolutely. It. For you guys, there's not going to, 600 days are going to pass with Chelsea in Champions League ball at like the bare minimum. So I'm hugely frustrated by it. It seemed like every decision that they made, I immediately hated it. And I would just do the thing like, oh, let's let it play out long play. Yeah. And if your worst fears are getting confirmed constantly at such a rapid pace, then you're worried about the whole well being poisoned at this point.
Yeah, I would say the worst Todd Boehly signing, a lot of people say it's Mudryk. I disagree. I think it's the director of football being James Corden. It's just a bad
bad hire. Bad hire. This is the last question I want to ask because we've been our producer Mike Malley, aka Miguelito. Okay, we've Latino-fied him.
We got him. Where while he sleeps, he's listening to Bad Bunny.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the rules if you're gonna work with us. But he has been making a few bets in Major League Soccer, and he's kind of been we've been living vicariously through him. And I know you are also,
which is one of the most erratic leagues to bet on.
It's
by
crazy.
The way,
He's been going with generally favoring what the
road team that I just think is better.
The road team
the
that is
team.
Just better, right?
Have you noticed this, Mike? You get so much extra value on these away teams, no matter like how much better. Like, for instance, this past week we did LAFC at San Jose Earthquakes. And you think, you know, LAFC on paper is a much better team, but they were still plus 135, I think, when we talked about it on the show. So have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, San Jose is good.
Espinosa, bro.
Yeah, he's a tremendous player, and I do get sad every time I watch the Quakes play recently. It's because they're not doing the man marking, like the all 11 man marking,
right, Matias.
Those games were bonkers to watch. It was just so much fun. But now they're actually good and cohesive, and it kind of makes me sad because I miss their old play. I had not notice that about the away value. I know that there have actually been some really good home teams. Isn't Houston quite good at home?
Yeah. I don't think they've lost at home, if I'm not mistaken.
No one's even scored against them at home.
Yeah, they went 0-0.
Remarkable.
Ben Olsen out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So is there anything, any tips or anything you followed in the bets
stay
you've
away
made?
From?
Dude, I can't bet Inter Miami for the life of me. I don't know what this team is, but I think I finally figured them out in that they're insanely streaky under Neville. And that is probably not the sign of a very good manager, quite honestly. But when they're up, they're flying. And it seems as though they're three on the trot in all comps. They just beat Atlanta. So I would say ride the streak until it comes to an end. And then if they lose, fade them. Fade them until they win.
Yeah.
Because they are so peaks and valley inner Miami under Neville. It's kind of just crazy. Anytime I think that they're for sure going to lose, they end up winning. Anytime that I think that they should be favored, they lose. I don't know what is going on over there other than the inconsistency. I've just drawn the conclusion it's the manager.
Yeah. I mean, they are still favored at this match this weekend against New England Revolution, plus 150
which
on the money line.
Crazy.
Miami is favored?
Yeah. By the way, one of the three he just said that they're, you know, on the draw is against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Relax.
No, it's Miami. I saw all comps, and it's Miami FC, which I don't know if you pay attention to banter boards, is the only professional soccer franchise that actually plays in Miami.
In Miami, yeah, that's right. Florian Velo.
Yeah, that was Neville Velo. Would not have survived that if they lost. He would not have survived that match. So, and if like that was like an at the death equalizer to push it to extra time, I think we were very close to not having Neville here to potentially be Messi's manager. And he does this like it's been the last couple of years with him where you think surely this is the match that if he loses he'll be gone, and he finds a way to win that match. And then get hot. It's a weird experience.
Dude, that's when you call Messi and you update the look, player, coach.
Yeah. Okay. Manager.
Do you want to do it, dude? Does Busquets want to do it? Who's your name another best friend?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, look, if they get Messi on this form, you can have Mr. Manager from FIFA running the thing. It don't, yeah. It don't matter.
Be lovely. Rumor is Tata Martino.
That'd be interesting.
Nah, that would not fly.
That's his favorite coach, though, no?
No.
Okay. I guess not.
Well, right. He knows more than we do.
Okay, yeah. Oh, look, I'll take your word for it. I'll stop saying that from here on in.
I'll take Messi over Martino any day.
Yeah.
All right, Mike Ryan Ruiz, thank you so much for the insight, for the advice, and for the scoops. You know, I hope you're right. That's the main
you're
thing.
It
hope,
like, you're making it a zero sum game again. I am right.
Yeah. No, I'm putting a lot of pressure on you.
There ain't no hope. Ask Fabrizio. I've been right.
Right. Remember which one of us did that?
Yeah.
No. I'm putting it on myself too. I want it to happen.
You can say that he's coming. I'm not going to say that he's coming. I'm going to say that Inter Miami feel very positive about their chances. But I think to handicap any kind of transfer is insane. This world is so freaking fluid, guys. It's crazy. And he, like, if Inter Miami had their way, he would have been signed 2 months ago. They're confused by the delay.
Right. 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 Okay.
Well, we don't know that, but we do know Knicks in six. We know that.
We do know that. Okay. Look, all I know about Messi is that if he doesn't sign, I'm just gonna really, really cry, and it's gonna destroy my life. Right. Okay. That's all. All right.
You
no
too.
Big deal.
Because no one, as nuanced as my deflection on you was, no one, like, Twitter is gonna be a cesspool for me, even more than it usually is.
A continued cesspool. Yeah.
Mike Ryan Ruiz, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, go support.
One of the best doing.
Mike Ryan Ruiz on Dan Le Batard's show every single day. Yeah, no, Miami
cut out,
Heat.
Cut out him showing his.
Let's go Heat and vamos gatos.
I love the idea of just, I don't know too many Latino hockey fans. Right. I'm probably one of the few, so I love seeing it. I didn't even know where the Florida Panthers play. I have no idea where they play.
In a hockey arena.
They play in Sunrise, and I shit you not, there was a guy like two rows in front of me, the number 99 jersey, and it just said Lechon on the back.
All right. Mike, you're the best, man. Thank you so much.
Vamos
Cheers.
Gatos.
All right. Shout out to Mike Ryan Ruiz. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for all the Messi insight.
Hey, thank you.
Great job, Christian.
Yeah,
you did great.
Oh, we didn't. I thought we would go back and forth thanking each other, but Christian was like, "No, I'll take that."
But no, like I said to him, if Messi ends up coming here, not only will it be great for American soccer as a whole, or obviously Major League Soccer, but it'll also be great for Mike Ryan Ruiz, who have been right.
Yeah,
he's gonna be insufferable.
Oh,
if it turns out that
so
it
is he already right? Not gonna lie.
So, we appreciate all the info and all the insight. Okay, let's talk about some American soccer news, because not only have a lot of people been wishing and hoping for Lionel Messi to make his way stateside. The other, especially New York City FC fans have been waiting for some news as well. And there is now, we announced, we had mentioned that NYCFC were getting a stadium, but now the renderings, the official proposals.
And this isn't like somebody on Reddit.
No,
like NYCFC is putting this out. This is official. Yeah. Official.
They made their pitch to like the community board,
bro,
and the city council. And we already got some images. Have you ever wanted to make love to renderings more?
Bro, only one time, but I'm not telling that story.
It was Las Vegas Raiders Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. I had to sell the Oculus after that.
What do you mean I can't return it?
No, I came this sticky, bro.
So
that's why I'm returning it, bro.
Yeah. So the official announcement is out, and they're obviously making getting all the final details sorted. But we're looking at it here. Just a couple details. It's going to be a 25,000 seat soccer specific stadium, privately finance with Union Construction. Okay,
that's right.
Oh, that's the important part. Union Construction. Okay,
no show.
Okay. Tony Soprano is running the NYCFC stadium.
Okay, we know New York. Yeah. We know how it works. Hey, listen, right?
Everything's above board as long as the board is underneath the table.
But no, 2,500 affordable homes.
100% affordable homes. So there's no poor door.
Oh, okay.
You've heard of the poor door.
Right, that's right. That's the door I come into in my home, right? So I've heard of it, okay? Right.
Your wife is like, you know you can't use the front door. You're scaring the neighbors. no, poor door is, if for those of you
Me
don't
and the
know,
dog, they share this, we share the same
door. You go through the dog door. Hello, I'm home. Why are all these thumbtacks here? In buildings in New York City, in order to get a building built, like a big fancy glass and steel building, you have to approve. In order to get the approval, you have to add so many low-income homes or affordable apartments in that building. And what they do is they say, fine, but then there's like the big fancy entrance, and then there's like the other entrance on the side.
Right.
And that's for the people who live in the low-income homes. So the people have complained, and now they stop it, and the term for that is the poor door.
Okay, so yeah. Overall, look, the fact that we're at this point, you know.
This is huge.
It's huge. We've been NYCFC fans since day one. We've always said the Cooligans would not exist if it wasn't for New York City Football Club. So
that is very true.
So something like this happening.
This is your fault, NYCFC.
Something like this happening is something we've been waiting for a really, really, really long time.
And absolutely. This is massive.
It's been incredible. The journey, being an NYCFC fan, having the tough expansion that first year.
11 losses in a row.
Yeah, rough time. But then, making the playoffs every year, winning an MLS Cup, winning Campeones Cup. Like, it's been all this joy kind of around this club and all this, sporting success. But the thing we were always waiting for was just these damn renderings, bro. We were waiting for these for so long. And I'm very, very stoked. I'm very excited. And it's nice to see just a bunch of New York City soccer fans happy as well. Because NYCFC this year, for some reason, They don't know how to win on the road.
No, they don't. They're like, bro, we don't do that, bro. We're building a home. We want to stay here.
Okay. We're trying to. There's certain zip codes we will win in, but those other ones, not interested.
Not really our thing. Also, I said this on the CBS show, but bro, I'm tired of playing at Rebel Arena or in Hartford It wasn't St. John, was it?
But not an MLS match, but US Open Cup.
St. John's, I'm wearing the shirt, but. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of playing in all these other homes. I think it was something like seven different stadiums for home games.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's nice to know that this is coming. The biggest shame is that this won't be ready for the World Cup. I think maybe it's not big enough, but I think we would have gotten one of them smaller club, group stage matches.
Think so? No.
Maybe.
No.
Didn't MetLife get something though?
Yeah.
So we're going to have it.
MetLife will get either probably the semifinal or the final.
Okay.
They still don't know where the final is going to be. I've heard a lot of rumors about. I've heard, obviously, Dallas.
I heard, putting in a big push for.
Jerry Jones.
But don't nobody want to be in Dallas, bro. Yo, Infantino, if you're listening to this, and I assume you are.
I know it's on your playlist. I know.
Right now, you're hopping in the shower, and you think, oh, I got to put on Cooligans. What better way to shampoo my bald head than by listening to Cooligans? You probably listen to us at 1.5, so let me say this very slowly. Do not do Dallas.
Well done. Yeah. The other one I heard was, what's the L.A. stadium?
SoFi?
SoFi, no. Yeah. SoFi. But SoFi has a problem where they measurements, I guess it's too narrow, the field. They
can't do that for a World Cup final.
Exactly. So, no.
Is MetLife too narrow?
No, MetLife has had finals. Yeah. Plenty of finals.
And so. Is it in Dallas?
Is Dallas too narrow?
No, is it in Dallas? Is MetLife in Dallas?
No, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so then it's the perfect stadium. Yeah. How did you not follow along on that?
I knew what you were doing.
Yeah. This kid's got dad brain now.
I don't know what's going on.
He's like, stay color within the lines.
Okay, so.
So you got what I was doing?
I got it. I'll explain it. If anybody doesn't know, we're both stand-up comedians, and we don't even understand when each other's are joking.
No, we're very different comedians.
Okay, some more news. So Open Cup has been going on, and obviously the Canadian Championship as well.
Right.
Montreal and Toronto had a match.
Don Garber just slammed a notepad on his desk, as you mentioned that.
Well, no, they had their matchup in the Canadian Cup or Canadian Championship.
Yeah.
Right. And I believe Montreal won that game, but they're also, it's a Heineken rivalry week. I don't know if it's labeled that this weekend, but they are playing each other.
Yes.
This weekend as well.
In MLS though, not the Canadian Championship.
Correct. But there was a little bit of a tiff. Yeah. Okay. A little bit of a scuffle.
This could have been me in Manchester City, bro, to be honest with you.
But fans...
By the way, Canadians even do the hockey fighting when they do regular fighting. Notice they're pulling shirts over each other's heads?
We're watching this right now.
One dude got a belt in his hand.
It's a little loud. That's really the main highlight.
Who let a Theo out here?
Somebody literally pulled out a belt to fight each other. And look, you don't like to see this at matches, I know that the punishment, at least for right now, the way this is being handled is the Toronto fans are having their tickets refunded for their match against Montreal at Stade Saputo this weekend. So
you really want to punish them, you should make them go watch Toronto FC play. Hey, if you really want to punish them, how dare you fight now? Watch Bob Bradley coach this team.
No, don't cover your eyes.
Open up. Don't make me take this belt off.
I don't think I've seen an in-stadium fight, and somebody get the pow pow la pela.
With la cinta?
Okay, la correa.
Oh, my God.
You're not used to seeing that.
No. First thing I thought of is, wow, did the Montreal fans not clean their room? Because I got hit with a belt.
If they would have pulled out a chancla, I would have lost my mind.
I would have been like, how did Toronto become the most Caribbean city in the world?
Okay. What? This discipline is very familiar to me.
I don't know, bro. PTSD has been engaged.
Have you heard? I don't know if you heard about this. There's
PTSD?
No. There's been a contingency, and I don't know. I want to hear your take on this. But remember, Angel City and San Diego Wave. They have that's like their derby.
The Chanclásico. Yeah.
Some people are saying that it shouldn't be called that because it triggers PTSD. That it's very triggering to some people. Even though, remember, we talked about
this. Is
this serious? I'm 100% serious.
I'm just zooming in on Alexis's face right now as he absorbs this information.
There's some people that think it's like a little insensitive to call it that. And look, we're coming. We're Latinos. We're comedians.
I got wild beat with a chocolate, bro.
This is a merger of two things that we're very familiar with. It's clever. It's funny.
Yeah. And it's culturally appropriate.
It's culturally, which is why it's used at all. And obviously, two kind of beach cities. That's kind of where it's coming from. It's one of those things where I'm like, I'm trying to be respect. I don't want to be like, old man yells at clouds.
Me neither.
I don't want to be that guy.
But like, don't ruin everyone else's fun. You know what I mean? Like, flip flops can be used other ways. You know what I mean? Primarily on your feet, on your foot at a beach.
On your dusty feet. Okay.
It's just our parents that turn them into weapons of ass destruction. Literally.
We don't. Okay. We should. Put out our statements. We should not continue hitting our youth.
I'm
not going to use a chancla on my son.
No, we need to change the academy to stop developing people this way.
So we're not for it.
Yeah, you know who got beat the most? The kid, the cousins you're afraid of. You know what I mean? Okay. So it doesn't work.
It shouldn't be a form of discipline anymore.
No, it's stupid.
But we can't remove it from our history.
But culture is culture.
I sound like the Southerner who doesn't want the Confederate statues to come down.
Heritage.
It's part of our history. Why are you taking this from us?
I think, look, if you... I don't know. What I'm going to say is going to sound insensitive, and I don't mean it that way, but it's like... For a lot of people, it's just a flip-flop. To not name it that is pretending it never happened that you know, us Latinos got beat with it. So we should probably talk about it and talk about it enough that it's embarrassing to the next row of moms. You know,
yeah, that's the point. You
know, that we're like, maybe we shouldn't do it because it's become a bit, you know?
Yes, it's a way to shame in a little bit. But and look, I'm not saying it should be, you know, that San Diego and Angel City should use it in all of its branding, but... I mean, if the fans want to call it that, just like where people were mad at, like, some people won't even call it El Tráfico, right? Because they're like, no, that's corny.
Remember, Bob Bradley didn't want it. He wanted to call it the Los Angeles Derby.
Okay. I want to give a chancletazo to Bob Bradley, bro.
I almost whipped that joint out. Well, let me take this belt off.
Don't hit kids, but adults. Adults are fair game.
Nah, yo. You shave your head, you can get beat. You old enough to get beat.
So, yeah.
Did you ever see the video of those two, like, younger-ish, like, maybe late teens, Latino women in their bedroom? They have a camera, and they have a phone out, and then a beat starts, and they start to twerk, and the mom opens the door with the hamper. She's putting the clothes she washed down, and she sees what happened. With the hamper in her hand, she quickly takes the chocolate off and beats both of them. And it's like, look, maybe yes, we shouldn't, and maybe that's triggering, but the efficiency, you know what I mean?
You gotta.
She didn't drop, not one shirt got wrinkled.
Game is game, bro. You gotta show respect.
You gotta respect, bro. Like with Tyronn Lue getting stepped over by AI, you gotta be like, no, he did that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I should be seen forever this way.
So, fascinating wrinkle to all of this.
That's like saying you can't yell fuakata, you know?
Bro, you're going to take that from us?
Bro, you're taking a whole culture.
Okay, I'm going to start saying like, yo, everybody's going woke. Yeah. All right? I'm going to start saying that. You don't want me to start saying
gonna
that.
He's going to start wearing a bow tie on this show, dude.
Bro, maybe you should head down to the Miami studio.
Something tells me they like you down there.
Finally.
Look, this guy loves freedom.
some Latinos I can connect with,
all right? Hola, ¿qué tal?
Ron DeSantis. I'm here for you, baby.
You mean wrong?
All right, everybody. Another hot cooligans in the books. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody who's always listening to the podcast, watching us on YouTube, we appreciate it. And it's all the new viewers on DraftKings Network and watching us here on Samsung TV Plus, on DraftKingsNetwork.com, channel 1168. You love to
Let's
see
go.
It. So we're excited. Again, just more and more fun stuff coming soon. Shout out to Mike Ryan Reeves for joining us as well. Lot to look forward to. Obviously, the Women's World Cup is coming up. We're going to be doing a lot of coverage, a lot of fun, dope things. So thank you to anybody who's supported us for all these years, or if you're new to the game, this is what it's all about. We're having a good time here in the beautiful sport that we love. Okay, as always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Subscribe button. Hit that follow button. Hit that yo what up button.
Hit that yo. Slide in our DMs. Yeah. Do whatever you gotta do,
bro. Tap the iPad with your dusty foot, bro.
Okay. There's so many ways to subscribe.
Oh man, it's fun, isn't it?
Hit the subscribe button with the chunk club, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, yeah, that's where you can get your anger out. Yeah. Smashing that subscribe button.
How about this? You don't subscribe, you might get a chunk that doesn't, bro. Okay. That doorbell rings, you see a nice looking little Spanish lady. Guess what's about to come next, bro?
We only warn you once. Okay. Y'all the absolute best. Thank you so much for joining us. Peace.
Love you guys.